Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study on the subject of animal sacrifices. And we began our study from the book of Genesis. And we used Romans 15:4 as a springboard for our study. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we can learn many lessons. They're innumerable from the Old Testament, of course. And let's keep in mind these main points as we continue our study this morning. Number one, the problem of sin brought about the need for blood sacrifices. Number two, but there is but one remedy for the problem of sin, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Number three, therefore animal sacrifices were pointing to the cross of Christ and could never take away sin, Hebrews 10:1-10. So let's continue our study of animal sacrifices from the book of Exodus, and we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning. Yes, sir, to PFE, and we should know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern. I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. And something else we want to mention. We look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, please call us and let us know. Our phone number is area code 765-342-6027. And our address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And we appreciate Bible questions you may have and your comments, positive or negative. They're also welcome. So let me mention that. One other thing we want to point out, and that is our website address, which has our radio sermons going back several years, and our bulletins. And that address is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. So this morning, we're going to go to the book of Exodus. And at the burning bush, remember when God told Moses what he was to say to Pharaoh? Well, it involved being able for the Israelites to offer sacrifices to God. Notice Exodus 3, verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, God speaking to Moses, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Well, notice what happened as Moses and Aaron go in before Pharaoh, and this would be in Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Well, this is the answer Pharaoh gives. And you can see this in verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." What a proud man. Doesn't know his Creator. And he's not going to obey the voice of God coming through Moses to let Israel go. He learned a hard lesson. And the tragic thing is, he put his whole nation into jeopardy because of his hard-heartedness. Well, we should learn lessons from this. Well, notice something else as we're still looking in the book of Exodus. After the plague of darkness, Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. This is chapter 10, verses 24 through 26. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither." So the point is, we must never, never, never compromise the truth. Moses refused to compromise as Pharaoh tried to get him to do so, as you study the book of Exodus. Well, notice what Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye indeed my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Well, we need to continue in the word, or else we're not going to know the truth. We may think we do, but unless we continue in the word of God, we don't know the truth. Someone could tell us something that's wrong and say it's from the Bible. We need to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures how often? Daily. To be sure of the things that are so, that are being said. That's right. You've heard me say before, Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. Well, notice in Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 14, the Lord instituted the Passover feast. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, instituted the Lord's Supper while observing the Passover feast. Matthew 26:17-29. The Passover feast was eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, representing the need to leave quickly and their bitter bondage. Well, of course, today we partake of the Lord's Supper with the unleavened bread, representing the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Christ. But you can see the Passover feast, the unleavened bread was a must. And they needed to leave quickly. And the bitter herbs, yes, that was representing the bondage they were under by the Egyptian taskmasters. And of course, the Paschal lamb. The Paschal lamb was to be without blemish, male of the first year. Well, of course, that's pointing to Christ, of course. Christ was without sin. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. So we need to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week in the Lord's church, remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, looking inward to examine ourselves, and of course looking forward to the second coming. Now, notice in Psalm 34:20, He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken, just like with the lamb. Not a bone was to be broken, but they were to eat the lamb before they were to get out of bondage. And we must have Christ in us if we're going to get out of the bondage of sin. And of course, if you go to John 19:32 through 36, you'll see here that not a bone was broken when Jesus was crucified on the cross, just as the Psalm 34:20 had recorded. How many years before this took place? Quite a few, is it not? Well, here's the emphasis we want to certainly put forth. The cost of redemption. Saving the firstborn of the Israelites was the blood of the lamb that covered the doorpost. No one could leave the bondage of Egypt without having the lamb in them. And without the blood of Christ, we cannot be delivered from the bondage of sin. Well, we need to appreciate, of course, this fact in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ must be in us. Of course, we need to ask how. Well, notice Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So in order to have Christ in us, first of all, we've got to contact his blood. And that's being obedient to the gospel of Christ, having heard the word, believed that Jesus is the Christ, believing, keep on believing, and repent of our sins, making a change of wills, having made the good confession unto salvation, and then the immersion takes place. Baptism, contacting the blood, the precious blood of Christ in that watery grave. And thus, we put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. We're baptized into Christ. You see that in the scriptures here. So, in Colossians 3:16, again, Christ must be in us, but how? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Well, how does God the Father and God the Holy Spirit dwell in us? It's through the Word. Notice these parallel passages. Ephesians 5:18-19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? In your heart, to the Lord. Now let's go to Colossians 3:16-17. We just referred to verse 16, and let's see this parallel passage with Ephesians 5:18-19. So again, this is Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's the same as being filled with the Spirit, because notice, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And let's go to 17, verse 17 also. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So let's not forget that. To have authority from the Scriptures is a must. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that means by His authority, whatsoever we do in word or deed. So let's keep that in mind. So this is how the Holy Spirit dwells in us, as well as God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwell in us as we live out the Word of God. We're accepting the truth and conforming our lives to the Word of God. Now, to reject God's mercy is to be lost for eternity. And this, of course, is sad to say. The majority of the world is doing just that. God is merciful and gracious, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But so many are like Pharaoh and will not do the will of God. Well, we must do what we can to convince them otherwise. The lost throughout the world need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the truth. And we need to stand for it, defend it, and not compromise it. Well, after crossing the Red Sea and battling the Amorites, notice in Exodus 17, verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissus. It means the Lord is my ensign or banner. Rally the troops around the Lord, in other words. In Exodus 18, 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So let's understand the importance of worshiping God in accordance to His will. Not our will, but His will. And after Moses came down from Mount Sinai, God commanded him to speak unto the children of Israel. Let's go to Exodus 20, 24 through 26. An altar of earth shall thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it out of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up thy steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Modesty. You see, that was in the Old Testament, and it's certainly under the law of Christ as well. Yes, this is something that's needing to be addressed, and that word kind of goes along with it, because so many are undressing now. As the weather gets warmer, you go to the store, and it's something, isn't it? Men and women, both alike, are not ashamed of their nakedness. Well, much more could be said about modesty. But notice this. Natural stones were to be used, not man's work. Yes. Does God mean what He says? Well, of course, we could answer. Then why do so many pollute the worship service with man's innovations? Choirs and solos. Things like this. The mechanical instrument. We saw in the scriptures a moment ago in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Yes, the command was to sing, a specific command. Singing with melody where? In the heart. Yes, with grace unto the Lord. But so many want to add man's innovation. Well, God gave us the voice. That's the instrument we're to use and not compromise the truth. So let's say with the Word of God, the covenant which God made with Israel was sealed with the blood of oxen. We need to point that out. Exodus 24, 4 through 8. Notice with me now Hebrews 9, 18 through 22. Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is sealed with the blood of Christ. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and pick up with verse 12, or this is actually preceding what we just read. But notice this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So we see here, it was by the blood of Christ that the New Testament is sealed, and only by the blood of Christ is man's sins washed away. Those that live faithfully under the old law, the law of Moses and the patriarchal law, the blood of Christ would go back and cleanse their sins as well. So we need to appreciate the instructions for the burnt altar and its vessels that were given in Exodus chapter 27. Again, God's commands were to be followed. This is under the law of Moses for the nation of Israel and those who would become proselytes. So God's commands concerning the consecration of the priest's office included animal sacrifices. Yes, sir. Exodus 29, verse 1, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish." And we could notice also Exodus 29, 31 through 37. You see the importance here of following God's instructions. Now, the first mentioning of the sin offering found in the book of Exodus is Exodus 29, verses 10 through 14. But remember, as we mentioned this last week, Job was a patriarch who lived before the law of Moses was given to the people. And he offered sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned, Job 1, 5. And later, you see in the end of the book, chapter 42, 8 through 10, Job again offered sacrifices. So we need to appreciate that as we're looking at the animal sacrifices this morning that took place in the book of Exodus, yes, God gave specific instructions concerning how this was to be done. For example, Exodus 29:15 through 18, you can see the instructions for the burnt offering. And in chapter 29, verses 19 through 30, here we have the instructions for the wave, or peace offering as it was called. So these instructions come from God, and they were to be followed. Now the lesson for us is, are we following God's instructions in order to become a child of God, a Christian? Are we following God's instructions for how we're to worship in the New Testament church of Christ, the church that was established by Christ as he purchased it with his precious blood? And it began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Where? In Jerusalem. Yes, in the first century. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We want to be of those that were added to the true church, not joining some man-made church. Let's stay with God's instructions. Now, I want to mention quickly, animal sacrifices, of course, are in the book of Leviticus. As you can see, the different types of blood offerings in Leviticus chapters 1 through 10. And this reveals how they had access to God. And notice that the sacrifices and the priesthood were provisions of God's grace. In Leviticus 10, there's a lesson here, verses 1 and 2, teach us that we're not to go beyond what God has authorized, as the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire before the Lord that he had commanded not, and they were devoured with fire. That's a loud lesson to pay attention to. And of course, in Leviticus chapter 23, we have the Day of Atonement, that the instructions were given precisely again. Hebrews 9:25 through 28, you can study that as well. But as we close out our study this morning, what happened to those who despised the law of Moses? Well, we should know that. And what will happen to those who despise the law of Christ? Hebrews 10:28 and 29. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God means what he says. Yes, we need to obey the gospel. Have you done so? If not, we stand ready to assist you. Again, we must hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, change our wills, and make the good confession unto salvation, and then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and stay faithful. We thank you so much for listening today.